SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
It is a day we have told you we are looking forward to all week long, really, since last week. It is schedule release day around the National Football League. It is Wednesday, May 15th, and we welcome you to Football Full Circle Live right here on Sports Grid Radio. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, the day has finally arrived. We have started to get some of the marquee matchups. Some leaks are coming out about what the schedule will look like for the entirety of the 2024 NFL season. We're getting the holiday games, the international games, how the season will get started with those marquee games. And as of this evening, by the time May 15th comes to a close, all 32 NFL organizations will know their exact schedule for this upcoming season.
Yep, as I said, we know who they're playing. We just got to find out, when the games are going to be played. It is amazing how they leak these things out, right? I guess it's good. You want to get as much information as possible, but we know the game's over, the international games now. That said, why not just give us all? Either do it or not do it. Just make it one day. But the NFL in its infinite wisdom has to spread this out over basically a couple of days to get all the things going on. Interesting to see what the games are going to be on Christmas Day. Found out today, Ben, that they're going to be televised on Netflix for the first time. So the NFL has a new partner. I think more and more people are going to get aggravated with some of these special deals in which, listen, not everybody has Netflix and not everybody has Amazon Prime. And, that's the scary thing for the casual fan. Not so much the schedules. How many more of these, I'll just say cable companies, but I know they're not cable companies, but how many more of these outlets are going to get involved in the NFL and force the NFL fan to, buy Netflix maybe for the month of December or get Amazon Prime just for football season. Sure. You get a little rumbling about the fan being agitated about that.
Yeah, Scott, I don't think it's just the NFL. I think it's really where media is starting to go with TV rights across professional sports, collegiate sports. When you think about where the NFL is going to stream games this year through non-cable providers, YouTube TV, the Sunday Ticket Package is on YouTube TV. We'll have games on Peacock, exclusive games on Peacock run through NBC. Both of the Christmas Day games will now be on Netflix. That starts immediately this season in 2024, and of course, the weekly and consistent streaming service that is Prime Video. It's almost a revolutionary idea, right, Scott, to put a bunch of cable or to put a bunch of channels or packages together. Pretty much what we are seeing now in the streaming era is cable reinvented, but just through different streaming networks. We got news yesterday that Max and Netflix, and I can't remember the other of this trio, that will be a streaming service that will be bundled at a vastly reduced price. We are pretty much talking cable reinvented. Was it Apple TV? I believe Danny Elkers, our producer, just came in my ear and mentioned that to me through the airwaves here. But we're getting basically, Scott, cable reinvented just in a new era, and part of that is going to have an effect, of course, on sports TV rights, because whether it was Netflix once a streamer and a scripted television, of course, now trying to get more involved in live TV, nothing, and I mean nothing, does nearly as well. Not even the most popular television show that is what everybody is streaming and getting through at the moment, what everybody is binging, it does not even hold a candle to live television sports, and nothing holds a candle, even in live TV sports, to the audience the National Football League draws in.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, Ben. Listen, if you want to pick one game, 1 o'clock game, fourth, fifth week, whatever, of the NFL season, and have five, six others that you could normally see with your normal service, and then have Netflix or Amazon or whatever televise that 1 o'clock game, okay. But they're taking prime time, Christmas Day. Yep. We've become accustomed now to NFL football on Christmas Day, and telling people, well, sorry, you can't watch it watching unless you got Netflix. I mean, I don't know how much they're paying. I'm sure they're making money on it. It is amazing how much they'll pay to televise two games. Yeah. But, you know, you keep on pushing that envelope, you know, and to me, the end result is pay-per-view for the Super Bowl. That really is like the – we talk about all the different ways, you know, they're going to have a Hard Knocks, you know, not even training camp anymore. The New York Giants are going to be involved in a Hard Knocks, which we can get into here in a little while. There's like so many different avenues for them to, you know, make money in the NFL. To me, though, you know, sitting at the top of the list is pay-per-view Super Bowl. You know, is that what all this is leading to? Because if they ever did that, Ben, $50, $100, whatever it be, they would make a gazillion dollars. People wouldn't be happy about it, but they would pay for it. So I'm hoping that's not where this is all going.
And there are some broadcasting laws in this country, some legislation that does tie things over to fair trade over the air. But I think those will start to be skirted and skirted with some loopholes more and more. Scott, I saw the figure for the Netflix Christmas Day doubleheader, around $150 million for both games. Not the steepest fee for Netflix if they can drive that audience response in return as they start to delve more into live television events. Of course, the Tom Brady roast that kind of has a football aspect to it was a live TV event on Netflix. So, Scott, one of the reasons the NFL continues to be able to drive and draw these audiences is because they can turn the schedule release into what feels like a national holiday in the middle of May in a made-for-TV event. Scott, we have talked about all the games that have been reported and announced at this current stage. We're starting to get some leaks as well, and as those leaks become finalized, the FanDuel Sportsbook and other odds makers will start to post those game odds. That included, Scott, earlier today, we got the international games set. All five games internationally in the 2024 NFL season. We knew about the Sao Paulo opener in Brazil on that first Friday night of the year. We got three more, the three London games. The Jets and the Vikings, October 6th. The Jags and the Bears the following weekend, October 13th. Both of those games inside Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and then Wembley the following weekend between the Jags and the Patriots. Jacksonville staying in London for a second consecutive Sunday for a second consecutive year. Then the Munich, Germany game in the first couple of weeks of November. That's November 10th. The Panthers take on the Giants. So we have the full five-game international slate, Scott, officially announced.
Yeah, you know, I was curious to see if the Jaguars were going to play two again over in Europe, and they are. They played two last year. They won, you know, both games last year. They're actually 6-5 in their 11 games. They have the most games over there by far. I got mixed emotions about that. Different feelings, I should say, really. Originally, it was like, all right, Jaguars stink, Ben. Yeah, go play five games over there. What's the difference, right? So, but then the Jaguars got good, and I'm like, well, listen, that's not easy, playing two games over in Europe. But now I'm starting to think, you know what, this might actually be beneficial for Jacksonville, which I'm going to put in the good category right now, vying for a playoff spot, because they play two games. One's going to be designated home game. One's going to be a designated road game. So they lose a home game, but they also lose a realistically road game as well. They are over there already. It's in back-to-back weeks, so they have the advantage in the second game against the Patriots because the Patriots got to fly over there while the Jaguars are already there since they played there the week before. So it actually might actually work in the Jaguars' favor when you really kind of settle in on, you know, playing two games over in Europe. I think that's actually a little bit of an advantage for Jacksonville now.
Yeah, I think it is. If I remember correctly, and I'm going to look at the Jacksonville Jaguars schedule from a year ago. I believe it served them well as Jacksonville got off to a relatively slow start a season ago. Yeah, both those games in London, October 1st against the Falcons, they blew them out 23-7, and then welcomed in the Bills where Trevor Lawrence had a huge day, maybe his best day of 2023's NFL season, 315 yards, Ridley had 122 receiving, Travis Etienne a big game, and they beat the Buffalo Bills as an underdog 25-20 to really start a win streak for the Jags that ultimately they could not take advantage of, but it was the start of a five-game win streak. We'll talk about the rest of the schedule releases that we have at this moment, dates to know and matchups to know, of course, as well as other NFL news around the National Football League on a big day in the offseason calendar for the NFL. It is schedule release day in the National Football League, where your favorite team is going to be playing. You know that. But what day of the week and when exactly? We'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. It bears repeating. It is NFL schedule release day around the National Football League. All 32 NFL organizations know where they are playing and who they are playing. The site, perhaps, well, actually with the international games now filed, but they know how many home games they have, how many road games they have on the docket throughout this season, and they know who they are lining up against. But when exactly that game is played on a weekly basis, that's what we find out today. So, Scott, we talked about the international games that were officially released. We are also starting to get some of those hints, some of those leaks about some other marquee events. And this one from Jordan Schultz, who, of course, works for Yahoo Sports and Bleacher Report, I believe, in terms of their NFL insider. He reported not all that long ago that the highly anticipated Week 11 game between the Bills and the Chiefs is scheduled for 4:25. Eastern on CBS. So that game will take place week 11 between KC and Buffalo.
That's good. It's good in that, you know, one of my questions and one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is who does Kansas City play in their third game? We talked a little bit about it yesterday, right? You open it up with Baltimore and Kansas City. I said both of those are at home, so it figures to be a road game, and they do play at Buffalo. I mean, could you imagine opening up with that little gauntlet? I mean, you talk about, ticking somebody off at the office, but, you know, we have a lot of, I'm surprised it's that late in the season, but I'm glad it is. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, hearing some of the other games that we already know about and all these great matchups and everything earlier on in the season. And I'm thinking, you know, the only excuse I could come up with is maybe the NFL is a little afraid of losing out on these games. You know, last year we had Aaron Rodgers. You know, they had Jets in prime time a gazillion times, and that all blew up in their face. Then we lose Joey B for Cincinnati. All those great games with Cincinnati, you know, all turned out to be duds because he wasn't playing. You lose Kirk Cousins with Minnesota halfway through the season. So maybe the NFL just kind of said to themselves, you know what, let's get as many as great games on paper as possible early on, and we'll worry about the second half of the season. There'll be storylines, you know, aplenty. Let's not risk losing some of these guys and losing out on some of these great games. So, but good to hear KC Buffalo week 11. CBS must be thrilled about that.
That will be a big game for CBS, no doubt. Always, always very interesting when Buffalo and Kansas City play each other in the regular season. The Bills have had the better of the Chiefs in the regular season, but of course it's KC who has the better, the more significant game in the playoffs, sending Buffalo packing in the postseason three of the past four NFL seasons. The boogeyman for Buffalo in the AFC and many others, that's Kansas City. We also got some more news surrounding the Chiefs, Scott. It is not official as of yet, but it has been reported again by Jordan Schultz, NFL insider for Bleacher Report, among others, what the two games are on Christmas in that doubleheader. The Steelers will host the Chiefs. Again, that's week 17, Christmas Day, which we know is a Wednesday. Those two games streamed exclusively on Netflix. And the second game, this came out just moments ago, according to Jordan Schultz. All of these are leaks. What we have had early on in some of those marquee matchups and the, you know, Sao Paulo game and the opening game, those were official releases ahead of the full schedule being released on this Wednesday. But according to sources, Jordan Schultz saying the other game in the Christmas Day doubleheader will be the Texans hosting the Ravens. Again, both of the games on Christmas on Netflix, but we get a rematch of that playoff game from a season ago, the Texans hosting the Ravens. Scott, two teams we expect by the time we reach Christmas Day in week 17 very much in the hunt for the AFC postseason.
Not bad. I did two pretty good games, right? I mean, how many times is Kansas City going to be on prime time this year? Man, we already got five examples of their schedule. They're going to be in prime time. So that's, you know, for the guy who said, you know what, I'm going to be stubborn and I'm not going to watch Christmas football. I don't care. They'll probably give us, like, you know, Atlanta versus Carolina. Who cares, right? But now you got to be like, well, I'm going to pass up on Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Should be a good game. And Baltimore and Houston, rematch, you know, You know, you're really going to have a lot of courage to say no to Netflix on Christmas Day. So I'm curious to see also, Ben, the Thursday schedule. You know, we talked a little yesterday, right? We know the first game, Buffalo-Miami. Is that going to be a precursor to what we're going to get for the rest of the Thursday night football games, which historically have been pretty, you know, mediocre games, right? Or is this just going to be an outlier? You know, first Thursday is going to be great, and all the others are going to be, you know, involving mediocre football teams. But maybe they're trying to upgrade. They did a little bit last year, right? The Thursday games weren't as bad as years past, but let me see how many really, really good. Like, Buffalo-Miami is a really key game. That's an important game to be playing on a Thursday. Let's see. I'm curious to see if that continues the rest of the season.
Yeah, Scott, it's really interesting, right? Because they often load up the front end of the Thursday night short week schedule with some really good games.
Right.
In the middle, you'll find some that are kind of some clunkers, and they try to end strong, at least based on projection. But they can't really flex out of Thursday night games. So if two teams who we expected to be good come week 15 aren't, you're kind of stuck in that. We do have some more schedule leaks as it pertains to those Thursday night games. Like week number 7, Sean Payton makes his return to the Big Easy. Now the head coach of the Broncos taking on the Saints. Again, these are all just schedule leaks. These are not confirmed, but obviously if they are being reported by people in the know who are true NFL reporters, either for a specific team or a coverage area or nationally, we will take them on their word as of this moment. The Chicago Bears are rumored to have a bye in week 7 and then play against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, so we should have a couple of those games out. We're getting all of these schedule leaks, Scott, at this moment, trying to cipher through what is true and what we know and what will be officially confirmed later tonight.
Yeah. Do you have any interest? Like I said, I'm curious about the Thursday. I'm really interested to see what the Thursday. Like Denver, New Orleans. Now, that may not end up being a great game, but at least there's a hook. You know, there's a solid Sean Payton going back to New Orleans. So I'll deal with that. I'm okay with that. I'm curious to see the Thursday schedule. Obviously, the Monday night schedule. I'm interested to see how many more times Kansas City is going to be on primetime. Obviously, my Dolphin fan. You know, I'm looking to see what the Dolphins have to do. But are you curious? Is there anything that you're intrigued about outside of just knowing the schedule?
Yes, the Atlanta Falcons and where they factor into the schedule, how much attention will be played to Atlanta this year because of what is expected with Kirk Cousins, the offseason turmoil leading from the NFL draft, and what exactly their schedule looks like. How many times will Atlanta be in prime time? We'll talk about a few schedule leaks up next for the Falcons here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Scott, if you try hard enough, you can find every NFL schedule leak that you hope for. You just have to make sure that it seems legitimate. You asked me before the break, as you referenced a few teams that you are keeping an eye on and some storylines you want to know from schedule release day, if I had any. Two teams I would highlight, Scott, that will have some optimism and expectation surrounding them in 2024's NFL campaign, the Atlanta Falcons and the Houston Texans. We talked about the Texans in that Christmas Day doubleheader in a rematch against the Baltimore Ravens from last year's postseason. They will host the flock this time as a part of that Christmas Day doubleheader. And then I mentioned the Falcons. Two leaks about Atlanta's schedule, one coming from Atlanta and Zach Klein of WSB, a local TV station there in the ATL. The Falcons are rumored to start their season, the debut of Kirk Cousins more than likely at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is also a reunion of the new OC in the Steel City, Arthur Smith, making his return to Atlanta bright and early.
Ah, that's interesting. NFL doesn't miss a beat. Now, listen, you're going to get a lot of tie-ins. These coaches go from all over, you know, one team to another, right? Everyone's got like five different teams on your resume. You can find a hook if you try hard enough. But that's interesting. That kind of is like the Jim Harbaugh thing that was mentioned. I was a little surprised that the Chargers weren't going to be part of the opening day ceremonies with Kansas City, just because you got to have that one bullet. That's kind of the case with Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh. You got one shot, you know, him going back, you know, in the middle of October, not that big a deal. But, you know, for them to do it opening day, it's all part of all the opening day storyline. So that's a pretty good one. Yeah, that's good. You know, how much are we going to buy into the Atlanta Falcons? Like, or not, I say we, meaning the media and the networks. You know, most teams, Ben, are on primetime anywhere from 2 to 3 from last year. And then the really, really good teams are on 4 or 5,
yeah,
you know, depending on what you consider primetime. So is Atlanta going to be in one of those situations where they're going to be on 5, 6, 7 times? You know, is it going to be crazy or is it going to be 1 or 2? You know, how much are we buying into the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins?
Right. And that game, of course, will, I don't believe, be primetime on that opening Sunday of the year. But a game that is also rumored for the Falcons to be in primetime is week 2. The Falcons on the road in Philadelphia. The Eagles' home opener after the return from Sao Paulo. It's the Monday night game of week 2 between Philadelphia and Atlanta. The line is out for that one, Scott, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which gives you a little bit of an indication that's pretty true. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Birds against the Falcons. The over-under, 48.5. That is Kirk Cousins in prime time right away, week 2, with all the attention paid to Atlanta this offseason, Scott. That's going to be a marquee matchup right off the jump.
Yeah, interesting. It's good, I suppose, that they, you know, they put Philadelphia to open up overseas, then they give them that extra day by giving them the Monday night game. So they're going to be in prime time quite a bit, right? No two ways about that. It's interesting, some of these lines that are popping out on these games. You know, I don't think, Ben, this year, kind of like last year, I don't think you're going to see too many 10-point spreads. I think last year was like one of the fewest or lowest amount of 10-point spreads. Everything was basically 6 points or less, and you're looking at some of these lines. Now, these are the better games, so they figure to be more competitive, but you know, everything is basically in that same kind of 1, 2, 3 point range. You know, a couple of sixes in there with the 49ers and Jets, but that'll be interesting. More rumblings from Kirk Cousins of, you know, with the Michael Penix Jr. thing. I don't know if you saw his press conference at all the other day, but you know, he was asked what he think about that, and he just basically said, you know what, no, he basically said no comment. You know, I don't deal in hypotheticals, which, you know, does kind of maybe reflect how he really feels, which I'm sure he's not too happy about it, but, you know, it is what it is. What can you do?
That was going to be what I led into, Scott, with the conversation of the Falcons and the reported games that we have for the Dirty Birds here to begin 2024. Was Kirk Cousins speaking to the media for the first time publicly since the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. number 8 overall? He had a bunch to say, but in the specific question that was headed his way about would he have signed in Atlanta had he known the Falcons were planning to use that top 10 pick, 8th overall, to take a quarterback, and he said, I don't deal in hypotheticals. That was the pretty quick rebuke of that idea. But he was asked a lot, and he highlighted what happened in 07 when he was at Michigan State, and Mark D'Antonio gave him a call and said, hey, we're recruiting this guy named Nick Foles. We want to bring him in for some competition for you in East Lansing. Of course, drafted in the 4th round when Robert Griffin III was drafted 2nd overall by Washington. As he entered the NFL, Kirk Cousins has only really known competition in a crowded quarterback room. It was his point as to, although it was surprising, it is not unaccustomed in his National Football League career. Plenty more coming your way on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is schedule release day around the National Football League. Believe you me, in the final half an hour of this show, we'll continue to dive through the rumors and the reports for some marquee matchups that will dot the NFL schedule in 2024. But Scott, a quick aside from schedule release dates, but still kind of working around the games that we know, with one of the teams that I wanted to highlight, the Atlanta Falcons. And we've got a couple of release dates out for Atlanta. What their rumored schedule opener is back at home, week 1 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, week 2 on the road in Philadelphia as the Eagles return from Sao Paulo. That will be the Monday night football game, week 2, reported as of this moment. Again, tonight around 7 p.m. Eastern time is when every team will tweet out and release their schedules in some kind of creative way. But earlier this week, Scott, we heard from Kirk Cousins. In fact, yesterday afternoon, for the first time publicly meeting with the media since Michael Penix Jr. was drafted 8th overall at the end of April. He's had a few weeks to digest. Of course, we got the reports that Kirk was not pleased and felt blindsided, of course, by the draft selection. I highlighted before the break that he referenced this has been the story of his football playing career, whether at Michigan State, whether in the National Football League with Washington, being selected in the same draft as Robert Griffin III, or what we see now here in Atlanta before he has even played a single snap for the Falcons. Kirk Cousins often says the right thing. It's just the situation, Scott, with all the attention and expectation for the Falcons this year, still just feels like a mess.
It really does. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one thing to do it, Ben, but it's clearly another thing to not even tell your quarterback that that's what you're going to do. And again, they had to have known Penix was going to be on the board. That's the whole thing to me. You know, it's not like a guy just dropped. You're sitting there at 25 and you say, boy, you know what? We had no idea this guy was going to be there. We just can't pass it up. So unexpected change of plans. Let's draft Penix Jr. They had to know. His over-under, you know, with the boys in Vegas was late first round, early second round, depending on what shop you did. So chances were very, very good he was going to be there. So if they knew that going in, you know, why wouldn't they have told Kirk Cousins rather than have to deal with the aftermath of this? What was he going to say? Was he going to do anything to make you change your mind? You had him under contract, so it's not like he could have done anything. You know, maybe just explain it to him a little bit better versus him having to prepare for this stuff with the media. You know, the other thing is they do have more than, like, everyone kind of perceives it as, all right, they could have helped their program by drafting somebody else. Yes, but it's not like they only had one draft. You know, they had second, third, fourth, sixth, seventh round picks, so it's people seem to get isolated on the first round only when it comes to, like, helping your team. But it's not a good look. You know, you had everything going your way. You know, you got the new head coach and you got all that resolved and you got the quarterback that everybody else was going for. Everyone was thinking good. You're in a win-now situation. The division isn't great. And then you just throw this curve at people that it was just, was it really necessary? You know, that's the thing. So he can't be happy, but what are you going to do, right? I mean, bitch and complain, yeah. But that's – and I've always, you know, with the Michigan State thing real quickly, I've always wondered about that, Ben. I've said this many times. I'd love to see some of these head coaches go in these recruiting situations and say, yeah, come to my school, and you're going to be the starting quarterback, and then a week later you sign another big-time prospect. It's like, how do they get away from that? How do they convince the kid to go to your school without making crazy promises, and then turn around, you know, like I said, the very next week sometimes and bring in another kid that plays your position? Got to be some weird things being said.
Yeah, I would assume so. And it is interesting how that plays out. And even though it was 2007, now nearly 20 years ago for Kirk Cousins, he still draws on that experience. And it does make sense, Scott, because that has highlighted what his experience has been. I still expect Kirk Cousins to take this in stride. But again, Scott, whether it was Terry Fontenot, the general manager in Atlanta, trying to explain away this decision, whether it was sport media pundits like ourselves trying to look at each side and provide context to the draft decision of Michael Penix Jr., I just don't get it still. I don't think any of the explanations has a strong enough reason where there isn't some sort of flaw or some hole that you can poke in what that explanation is. Either the win-win scenario of Kirk Cousins playing 2 years and the Falcons having somewhat of success but having a certain ceiling, and then Michael Penix Jr. in his third NFL season after the Falcons move on from Kirk Cousins, whatever it might be, any of the situations, any of the scenarios, none of it really makes sense. But again, Scott, this is not a team that signed Kirk Cousins this offseason, drafted a rookie quarterback who was going to be a project in the fifth round to hope for the future. This is an Atlanta Falcons team that drafted Kirk Cousins and immediately vaulted up the board in the NFC and in their own division, where now a team that hasn't won more than 7 games in 6 consecutive years has a win total of 9.5, that the over has the juice, that's expecting a double-digit win season, and they're the odds-on favorites to win the NFC South at minus 120. junkie. Again, this is not, hey, Kirk Cousins passed his prime. We signed him. Not sure what he's going to give us. If we can get to be a 7-8 win football team, that would be great. This is a team now expected to contend in the NFC along the likes of the teams maybe in Tier 2 behind San Francisco. That's what makes this even more peculiar.
Yeah, there's only two scenarios to me. Well, two or three. One, you're not completely confident about Kirk Cousins, whether it's his ability or him coming off an Achilles injury. So you want to have that potential backup because you do view yourself as a win-now team. Two, maybe there was another club, Ben, that told the Falcons, hey, listen, we're willing to make a deal with you. Draft Michael Penix. We're sitting way back here. Falcons at number 8. There weren't any great, great, great defensive players. All the big-time wide receivers were gone. The Falcons said, all right, you know what? We'll draft Michael Penix for you. And maybe that potential trade fell apart for some goofy reason, and now they're holding on to Penix. Or they even said, you know what? We don't love anybody at number 8. Just absolutely all the big-time players are all gone, so why don't we draft Penix Jr., hold on to him, and then trade him next year when some team is desperate for a quarterback and we're sitting there with Michael Penix and maybe we can get another top 10 pick with a better draft class. Is something like that, is that possible, that they had a deal that fell apart, or they're investing thinking that they're going to trade him maybe next year to a club that needs a quarterback? I don't know, but on the surface, you're right. It just doesn't make any sense. It really, you're trying to find like reasons for it, but because it doesn't make sense if you believe in Kirk Cousins. And if you don't, then would you sign Kirk Cousins for a $200 million contract for that?
And that's what it comes down to, right? If you had some sort of caveat plan or an escape plan, if the roof were to fall in, then why'd you spend $180 million with a $100 mil guarantee? That's the stuff that doesn't really track as you try to explain away, which is not necessarily what you want to do in the first place, but you try to explain why insert X move was made in the NFL draft. And again, it was the idea that Terry Fontenot was saying that we're not sure the next time we're going to be in the top 10 to get a quarterback of Michael Penix Jr.'s caliber. Well, Terry, it's also a little bit big of you to say because, again, you haven't had a winning season in 6 years. You haven't won more than seven games in six seasons. So unless that drastically changes, and with Kirk Cousins, it realistically should, it's a bold proclamation in the ATL. And that's why, Scott, Atlanta fascinates me in terms of what primetime attention they get this year, because they are that up-and-coming team, and the networks love that up-and-coming team that is filled with promise for the storylines in those marquee games throughout an NFL campaign.
Yeah, maybe a good prospect for Hard Knocks, training camp Hard Knocks. Now they've added a different Hard Knocks, but
I still think the training camp Hard Knocks, Scott, has to follow the headline or the guidelines of a team that did not make the playoffs but has a returning head coach, and with Raheem Morris stepping in,
right.
I don't think the Falcons fit that billing. We'll talk about the other Hard Knocks, the new offseason Hard Knocks. We now have three versions of what was once a late July, early August staple of Hard Knocks training camp with insert NFL organization, because there's the in-season Hard Knocks that I haven't watched a lot of. There's the off-season Hard Knocks now that will follow around the New York Giants. And that's not training camp. That's just some of the decisions that were made probably in and around the NFL draft and what we'll see throughout the offseason. Not sure how much attention that is going to get as we continue to follow any reported schedule releases around the National Football League here on Schedule Release Day. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. We continue to follow any schedule release leaks that we have on schedule release day around the National Football League. So, Scott, as we look at any more things that have come out just yet, there is an idea of who the Broncos will open their season against. For the second time in 3 years, there should be a matchup between two former teams that were tied together, now not nearly as much. That's the Broncos visiting Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Again, one of the reasons I love schedule release day is because you get all these matchups that you knew the opponent, you knew where the game was scheduled to be played, but when exactly in the season was it going to fall, on what day of the week? That's what we're starting to find out. And then you can start to paint more of a path of how does this team get over or stay under its win total? Is there a line then for them to reach the postseason? What does all of this look like? And for Denver, Scott, another incredibly interesting team to me in 2024, because when you think about it, although Sean Payton has a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, who was drafted 12th overall, I wonder what that leash, I wonder what the leeway is in the Mile High City this upcoming year, because it's a win total of 5.5. 5.5 only for the Denver Broncos, and the over has hefty juice at minus 150, but it's not overly optimistic for this upcoming season.
No, it really isn't. I mean, but for you to get 5 wins, though, in an NFL season, go 5-12, that's tough, Ben. I mean, that you have to really, you know, to put the Patriots were 4-13. You know, the Chargers without a quarterback even got 5 wins. Washington only had 4 wins. Washington would have been the one I would have pegged for a little bit more. And then Arizona with all their quarterback issues in Carolina. So, I mean, you have to be like bottom of the barrel bad. Or is Denver, you know, which is 8-9 last year. I mean, they weren't horrible, you know, if not for that goofy, unexplainable home loss to the Patriots on, what was it, Sunday night, Monday night, one of the special games late in the year. They probably would have made the playoffs. So I mean, I don't think they're going to be that bad. You know, maybe we'll see, you know, quarterback issue wise, you know, how long is the leash going to be? But that's the thing. You know, you look at some of these schedules, you know, who's going to have 3-game losing streaks? Who's going to have, or 3-game road trips, rather? Who's going to have 4 road games in a 5-week span, like we see sometimes? You know, who's going to open up with a gauntlet, you know, especially if you have a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback? Those are all the things that kind of play into the over under numbers. So even though we know the teams, it is nice to see where they all project and when they're playing and everything else.
For sure. And that's part of it, Scott, right? Because we have strength of schedule. You can do that either based on a team's record last year, or as I love what our guy Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here on Sports Grid, does, he and his team compile projected win total strength of schedule metrics that I think is a truer picture, because you get how good the odds makers are expecting a team to be. And of course, those expectations can always vary, but you get what they're expected to do. If a team won 4 games last year, but their quarterback was injured the entirety of the season, I don't care they went 4-13. If that quarterback gets back and they had a great offseason and now their win total is 8.5, I care more about the team I'm lining up against in the upcoming season versus the team that played a year ago. But part of what goes into these schedule makers and part of what goes into determining what your schedule looks like from a difficulty perspective, how much are you traveling? Do you have a rest advantage, a disadvantage? Are you going cross-country where your team's been at home 2 straight weeks or your opponent's been at home 2 straight weeks? Those are the intricacies, Scott, that I love about when you really see the full schedule. Sure, we know opponents. We know where the game is scheduled to be played. And if it's not going international, then more than likely it's going to stay in that projected venue. But that's the kind of ingredient that I like. And of course, then you get the primetime aspect from the TV perspective.
Yeah, you'd be curious to see how many times these guys all play, right? And who's playing, you know, can you find a little glitch? I always find it a challenge, Ben. Let me see if I can find the glitch and bet it now. Like having a road game Sunday and then a road game Thursday. You know, usually they give that road team Thursday a home game on Sunday. But, you know, screw-ups are made, you know, or you go back-to-back on different situations like that. You know, you kind of dissect all these schedules and say, wow, look at this. This team is doing this and this team is doing that. I think it was the AFC South last year, where nearly every team barely left the Central time zone. They weren't any West Coast teams, you know, Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee. I think that was the one where they didn't play anything on the West Coast. Everything was Central time zone or East Coast. You know, it's a little goofy things like that that play into, like, okay, that wasn't bad. Who's traveling the most? I think the Raiders last year traveled the most miles out of any team. And that all, you know, kind of plays a factor in putting. I'm not a big futures bettor as far as, like, I'm betting a game, you know, here in May that's going to be played in November, or and they have all these lines out for these games. But every once in a while, you know, you find a little nugget like that. It's like, okay, you know what? I will put a couple shekels down now.
Yeah, Absolutely so. Scott, I think there was the note on the Steelers last year, and of course, Steelers' consistency under Mike Tomlin might outweigh anything on a schedule, but I think the Steelers didn't have to leave the central time zone or whatever it was. They were staying so not a lot of air travel for Pittsburgh a season ago, and obviously it benefited the Steelers in terms of reaching the postseason. There's all of those little intricacies, again, that go into all of this, and we're getting all of those schedules released. We're getting all of the rumors and reports that are out there. For instance, we just heard of a Week 5 Monday Night Football game that will happen in Kansas City, reported by a Saints reporter for SaintsNews.com, John Hendricks, that the Saints will travel to Kansas City, week number 5, Monday Night Football, chalk up yet another primetime game for KC, Scott.
Yeah, how many? I mean, I think there was a limit on how many you can have, but they may have thrown that out the window now with all the Netflix and Amazon Prime and all the other stuff. You know, these services aren't paying a gazillion dollars, so they could be broadcasting, you know, two last play, you know, Tennessee versus, you know, Carolina. So we may see Kansas City basically every other weekend, if not even more than that, in a primetime spot.
And we'll look at what game odds we have available as the schedule release really starts to come in full circle, including that doubleheader on Old St. Nick's Day, Christmas Day in Houston between the Texans and the Ravens. The line is now out. We talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is schedule release day around the National Football League. And Scott, we learned a couple of things today about the Christmas Day slate in the National Football League. The doubleheader of games would be streamed exclusively on Netflix. Netflix airing a football game for the first time, or a live NFL game, I should say, for the first time, starting immediately this season in 2024. And we learn what the doubleheader is slated to be. Again, this is reportedly, as of this moment, nothing officially confirmed until tonight, but it should be in any order. The Chiefs and the Steelers in Pittsburgh, the Ravens and the Texans in Houston. And the line for at least one of those two Christmas Day games is now out. It's the Texans and the Ravens, Scott, in the AFC playoffs. Off rematch from the division around a year ago. The Ravens, a road favorite in H-Town, laying 2.5 points against the Texans.
Yeah, you know, the one team, I know they're playing the Jets, we got that one, but, you know, the one team that seemingly is conspicuously absent from a lot of these little games, whether it's Christmas Day or everything else, games over in Europe, San Francisco. You know, I know, again, they open up with the Jets. We got them. But you look at their schedule, Ben. They got some monster games. I mean, holy crow. They play Dallas, Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo, Miami. You know, in addition, obviously, to the Rams twice and everyone else in the NFC West. Chicago, that might be a halfway decent football team. So they got a lot of, like, marquee games that so far we haven't seen them pop up on some of these schedules that are being released. I wonder, I don't know if that means anything, you know, but it just, you're looking at different team schedules and I'm, like, anticipating, you know, who they're going to play. Green Bay, that I mentioned, they play Green Bay as well. They got a lot of tough games on their schedule, and so far, or they have not popped up on the radar screen. Interesting.
Scott, if you can hear me right now, it seems my audio equipment has crapped out for just a moment. I'm going to fix that. I apologize for the inconvenience and the technical difficulties here on Sports Grid Radio. But, Scott, please take it away if you can hear me at the moment. Something just happened.
Yeah, I definitely can hear Ben. So, yeah, I was just looking over the schedule. You know, San Francisco is the one team that we haven't heard too much of with all these games that are being released outside of their contest against the New York Jets. But you look at team schedules and over-unders, and you know, you want to see, you know who they're going to play, but when they're going to play. I want to see the gauntlet that could be facing San Francisco. But, again, they got Dallas won't be easy. Detroit won't be easy. Kansas City's on the schedule. They play the AFC East, which means they have Buffalo and Miami, both those on the road. So they have the better, in most people's eyes, of the two teams in the AFC East on the road, and then the lesser of the two, the Jets and Patriots at home. You know, ideally you'd want that reverse, because you probably think you can beat the Jets and Patriots no matter where you play. You might not be able to do the same against Buffalo, Miami. But what it was, and let me see what the Patriots over or the over under is for the okay, Ben, is back good. What is the over under win totals for San Francisco, Ben? Because I was just going over the Niners schedule, and I was saying it's they haven't popped up. 11.5, boy.
Yeah,
they're good. 12-5 with that schedule. That's a tough schedule they have in front of them.
Yeah, it is really interesting, Scott, because again, San Francisco last year booked as a favorite in every single game, all 20 of them. That included Super Bowl 58 against Kansas City. And for a good portion of the home stretch of last year, when San Francisco seemed like the world beater that they were entering that Super Bowl matchup, they were at least a 5.5, 6-point favorite in games that Brock Purdy was able to start. The odds makers have always looked very favorably on the 49ers. 11.5 is the win total. The Chiefs also at 11.5, but the Niners have the juice on the under. The Chiefs have the juice on the over, both minus 122, by the way, for both of those prices. So that's really where the Niners are held in respect. The Ravens, the only other 11.5, I believe, on the board. And the under has the juice for Baltimore at minus 162, so even more than what we see for San Francisco. And we've shared this a few times, Scott. The 49ers, the Super Bowl 59 favorites, maybe because of the path in the NFC, albeit, as you're pointing out, even being in the NFC, that 2024 schedule is difficult.
It really is. That said, they probably will be a favorite again every game this year, right? They're going to be a favorite at home, right? Even against Kansas City, they're going to be a favorite, right? The only three tough road games, Buffalo, Green Bay, Miami, you know, depending on when and where they play them, they're more likely to be a favorite again every year, every game this year, too.
Yeah, just saw a schedule leak, Scott, for the San Francisco 49ers in that Super Bowl 58 rematch against KC, more than likely happening in Santa Clara week number 7. Would not be surprised to see that game in prime time. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.